Well, good morning. How is everybody doing? Okay, today's already been so amazing, hasn't it? It's been incredible. That message we just heard, I mean, I'm going to have to listen to that like three more times because it was so good. I just really wanted to sink in. The Lord was sitting here convicting me and I'm like, oh, Lord, I need these truths. I need to change. And it was so good. And the worship has just been amazing. Well, I'm just so excited to be here with all of you today. I was just sharing with Christy how much I love coming here. I feel like you're all my second family. And I was on the phone with my mom yesterday, and I said, I just love those women at Revival. I always feel so loved and so blessed whenever I come. So I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for that introduction. Isn't she amazing? I couldn't do that. She's incredible. She doesn't even have notes. She did great. Well, we are in Titus chapter 2, and I love this portion of scripture that we're going over together today. It is for each and every one of us women, no matter what stage, age, or season of life that we are in. Every single one of us can glean something from Titus chapter 2. Let's just read over those verses again together in Titus 2, beginning in verse 3. It says, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And our verse that we're keying on here today together is verse 4. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Other translations of the verse say admonish as encourage, urge, train. So this is kind of a command, you know. We're going to get to the down-to-earth, practical, tactical of loving our husband and our children. But how can we do that? Because it sounds so easy in theory, right? Oh, love your husband and your kids. Oh, that's a cinch. But is it really a cinch? I don't think so. And God wants us to learn these truths. And I love what Janie was just saying about how we have to learn. We have to grow in God's grace in able to do these things, right? Well, Titus 2 is a call for all women to have the right focus of God's calling on their life. So whether you're young or you're middle-aged or you're older, we're all called to be women who love God, who serve God. And one of the biggest callings in this verse is that women would become wives and mothers after God's own heart. Because truly, as a woman, did you know that your greatest calling in life, aside from knowing Jesus, is to be a wife and a mother? That's your greatest calling, is to be a wife and a mother. We see it all throughout Scripture, all throughout history. All the women of the faith that we read about, Ruth, Esther, Sarah, Mary, Jesus' mother, the Proverbs 31 woman, you are called to be a wife and a mother. If you're not already, you will be one day. Maybe you're not in that season now, but maybe you can help the younger women to do that. We all have a place. Your worth comes in being the woman that God's called you to be. That's where your worth comes from. It doesn't come in a college degree or a plaque on the wall. It comes in being obedient to who God has made you as a woman, and that's to be a wife and a mother, or to teach the younger women how to be a wife and a mother. Now, without faithful wives who will love their husbands, marriages will continue to fall apart. Without mothers who will really love their children, more and more kids are going to go by the wayside. Without women like you who choose to take a stand and be the woman that God wants them to be, society will continue to crumble. So this is a heavy calling. But when it gets down to the brass tacks of love and loving our husband and children, when it comes down to the temper tantrums and the meal preparations and the crazy teenage hormones and the dirty socks on the floor, and the husbands are less than easy to love, it gets hard. Because telling someone you love them is a whole lot different than actually loving them, right? Because talk is cheap. Now, how many of you love a good Hallmark romance movie? Come on, ladies, don't be shy. All right, I have a confession. I love Hallmark romance movies. Now, my favorite ones are the Christmas ones. Can I get an amen? Thank you. So like every October, I'm ready. I'm like, okay, where's the countdown to Christmas, right? I mean, if we could do it in June, I'd do it in June, you know? And I have to hold myself back. My husband's like, babe, it's only July. You really shouldn't be watching, you know, Love at Christmas. I'm like, I know, but it's so good. And we love them, don't we? Because they're always so happy, right? They always end so happy. I mean, you can tell what's going to happen, who's going to fall in love with the first 30 seconds, right? It doesn't take very long. It's like, oh, yeah, they're going to end up together by the end of the movie. And sometimes I'll be watching it, and I'm like, oh, the acting is so bad, and this story's so predictable, but I'm glued, right? I mean, I just can't turn it off. They're so cheesy. And somehow in our female mind, we love it because that's the kind of love that we want, right? We want the butterflies. We want the happy ending. We want the sweet, sticky love story that we always see. But what is love really? Well, love doesn't really look like that. Love endures when the sunshine turns to rain. Love endures when the flowers stop blooming. And love endures when all those wonderful little butterflies fly south for the winter. Because they do, don't they? And I'm actually so glad I'm not still in that butterfly state with my husband after 13 years, okay? I'm glad that our love has gotten deeper and more rooted, and we've gone through serious trials and loss and hardship. And I'm so thankful because that's what real love is. So we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in our time together. I believe it's the greatest chapter that we can go to on how to learn to love our husbands and our children. Now, for some of you that are out there that are not married, maybe you're younger and you think, okay, well, I'm not married. That's okay. Just as Janie said, you're learning these things now. You need to learn these things now before you become a wife and mother. For those of you that are older, let's train the younger to love their husbands and children. For those of you that are just living day-to-day life, you still need to learn how to love those that are around you. You're not off the hook just because you're not married. And, oh, I don't need to love anyone. I'm not married. No, you need to love those that are around you. So this is for all of us. So let's just open up in a word of prayer. Father, we love you. And we thank you that, God, you love us. And that, Father, you are our greatest example of love. Father, would you teach us today how to love our husband, how to love our children and those around us as you want us to. God, would you go before us today? Would you speak to us through your word? That these wouldn't be my words, that they would be yours, Father. Would you speak through me? We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, hopefully you're in 1 Corinthians 13. Did I tell you to turn there? I hope I did. I get a little distracted. So 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to start in verse 1. This is Paul speaking. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Drop down to verse 13. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Wow. I love this portion of scripture. And many of us, if you're like me, have it on a little plaque, maybe in a picture frame. I have a giant one in my kitchen, and let me tell you how convicting whenever I lose my temper. God brings my eyes that love is patient, love is kind sign. We love this portion of scripture, but do we really live it out? It's a tall order. It is not easy. And we're going to be looking at an acrostic for love in our time together. So for the letters L-O-V-E, our first letter is going to be L. Love looks to God. O, love offers patience and kindness. V, love vanquishes selfishness. And E, love is eternally minded. So let's look at that first letter, L. Love looks to God. So in order to love, to truly learn it, to give it, and to show it, we first have to look to the one who is love, who made love, who is the author of love. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 and verse 19, we read this. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Verse 19 says, we love because he first loved us. I've heard it said before, and it's so true, that God is everything we read about in 1 Corinthians 13. God is patient. God is kind. God is not easily angered. God is not selfish. God forgives. God's love for us never fails. Isn't that incredible? And in order to give that kind of love to our spouse and to our children, we have to look to him for help, right? And how can we do this? How do we practically do this? And I love that Janie was talking about this earlier. How do we do it? We spend time with God. If we want to become like God, if we want to love how he loves, then we're going to spend time with him every single day. It's like when you have a best friend. How many of you have a best friend or a bestie? Okay, most of us, or maybe you had one in the past. Maybe you're going to have one in the future. Maybe you have one right now. Now, every time you hang out, what ends up happening with you and your bestie? You start becoming like that person. You even start looking like that person. I don't know how it's possible. All of a sudden, your hair is the same color, and you're wearing the same outfits, and you show up to church, and you're like, you bought this dress too? Right? And you start talking like it. You even sound like each other. I remember I had a bestie a few years ago, and I don't think we looked anything alike. But someone asked us one day, are you twins? I'm like, twins? We don't look that alike. Then I looked in the mirror. We had the same color hair. We talked the same. Same arms. Everything. It's like when you're hanging out with your best friend, you're going to become like them whether you like it or not. When we spend time with God, you're going to become more like him. You're going to start loving others as he does. People are going to say, wow, you look a lot like your father. And isn't that what we want? Don't we want to love like our Father in heaven? But we can't do it if we don't spend time with him. If God isn't your best friend, if God isn't your bestie, there's no way you're going to look and act like him. We need him, ladies. And the only way that we're going to be able to give his love is by learning it from him first. You know, when you're driving in your car and that lovely little light turns on the gas tank, what does that mean? You run out of gas, right? And if you don't get off the freeway and get to a gas station, you're going to stall. You're going to seize on the side of the road. It's not like, oh, look at that pretty little light. I'm just going to keep going, right? No, you need to pull over. You need to get gas. And that's how it is in our relationship with God as we choose to love others. If our love tank is on empty, if our heart is on empty, and we're not full of God and full of the Holy Spirit, guess what's going to happen? We're going to break down in our marriage. We're going to break down with our children. We're going to break down with those people around us, and we're not going to be able to give them love. It's not a good thing, right? So, how do we practically look to God? What do we do? You spend time with him every single day. This is so important. And ladies, I'm going to challenge you here today. You must find a time every single day to spend with God. I always like to encourage people to do it in the morning. I love what Janie said. First thing when you wake up, right? First thing we should do is spend time with God. Reading His Word, praying, talking to Him, going to Him first. Now, let me give you an example. There are times, more than I would like to admit, where I get up in the morning and I don't go to God first. And I fly out of bed and the baby's up and the bottle needs to be warmed. And I'll be flying around the house. And this happened not too long ago. I was rushing around the kitchen. I was snapping at my husband, snapping at my son, snapping at the dog, you know. And my husband so sweetly looked at me and said, "Dear, did you spend time with Jesus this morning?" And it was so convicting because he knew. He knew I hadn't been with Jesus. I was a mess, right? But then there's been other mornings where I've chosen the right thing, even though it was really hard. And I've spent time with God, and there's a noticeable difference in my attitude. Noticeable difference. I'm not snapping at my son when he spills his milk. I'm not snapping at my husband when he does something. And I'm certainly not snapping at the dog on those days. It's such a difference in our attitude. We can never, ever love our husband and children how we're supposed to unless we look to God first. I love Philippians 4:13, and most of us all know it. It says, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." But guess what, ladies? Without Him, we can't do anything, right? We can do all things with Him, but without Him, forget it. Psalm 121 is one of my favorite psalms. And the very first verse, David says, "I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Our help in this love area comes from the Lord. I see so many shirts and coffee mugs now that say, you know, a little bit of coffee and a whole lot of Jesus, or, you know, naps, coffee, Jesus, or whatever. And you know what I think? Skip the coffee, skip the nap. We just need a whole lot of Jesus. That's what we need, right? I honestly don't remember the last time a shot of coffee helped me love my husband more, okay? What we need is Jesus, all right? Coffee helps you wake up. Coffee doesn't help you love your husband and kids. We need a whole lot of Jesus. So I want to challenge each one of you. Pick a time to spend with God every day. I say do it in the morning, and why? Because it sets the tone for the day. It sets your mood, it sets your focus, it sets your attitude. You know, some people, they'll spend time with God before they go to bed. It doesn't work for me, because you spend time with God and then you go to sleep. So you don't really get to live it out. Find a time in the morning. If you absolutely cannot do it in the morning, just do it. That's what's most important. But try to do it in the morning, ladies. Now, I want to recommend to each of you three books, actually four, that I love. They're all written by Elizabeth George. And if any of you are familiar with her, she's an amazing author. Some of my favorite books are from her. She's actually written four books, and there's one for every season that you're in here today, so you're not off the hook. The first one is A Young Woman After God's Own Heart. The second one is A Woman After God's Own Heart. The third is A Wife After God's Own Heart. And the fourth is A Mom After God's Own Heart. So there's one for every season. And the one that I've been going through recently is A Mom After God's Own Heart. If you are a mama, you need to get this book. Write it down, order it on Amazon today. One thing that she emphasizes over and over again in all of her books is the importance of spending time with God. And I want to read you this quote that she says in A Mom After God's Own Heart. She says, "How does a mom handle each stretching day? How does she manage in a God-pleasing way her marriage, her housework, the first baby, the second baby, the third baby, the fourth baby, all of whom quickly become active toddlers and preschoolers?" Answer: she looks to God's empowering and peace-producing word, and in doing so makes a difference, a huge difference. You can replace mom with whatever season of life you're in. How does a woman, how does a young woman, how does a wife, how does a mother, how does a widow, how does an elderly woman manage each stretching day. How does she do it? How does she love? By looking to God's peace-producing and power-filled word, right? And I know some of you in here might be thinking, oh, I just don't have time. I don't have time. Can't do it. I get up in the morning and have no idea what my schedule is like, Mary. I'm too busy. The baby's too young. I've got to get to college. My husband's enough working himself. I don't even have time for me, let alone God, right? And every time I start making these excuses, the Holy Spirit is so faithful to go like this. Well, Mary, how much time did you spend scrolling through Instagram this morning? How much time did you spend binging on Netflix with that TV show you've been trying to catch up on? You all know it's true, ladies, so don't act surprised. Okay? How much time did you spend online shopping or reading that other book or that magazine? And I'm so quickly convicted. Oh, Lord, you're right. Did you know it only takes about 5 minutes to read a chapter in the Bible? That's about all it takes. I think we scroll through Instagram and online shopping sites and TV shows a lot more than 5 minutes, don't we? And none of those things, I guarantee you, will help you love your husband or your children more. In fact, most of the time when I'm done scrolling through Instagram, I'm kind of grumpy. It's true. You get in a comparison mode. And oh, my life isn't as glamorous as that. I'm in sweatpants every day, right? Or why can't I be on vacation in Paris? And, you know, why can't I have this and have that? And, you know, well, my husband doesn't do that for me, you know. He didn't do that for me for Mother's Day. And look at her. Look at her Mother's Day. It doesn't make you love your husband and children more, does it? Or that TV show, or that movie, or that magazine, right? Only God's word, ladies, only going to the Father is going to give us love for our husband and children. Make the time. You have the time. You do. But you have to choose what's most important. Is your relationship with God the most important thing in your life? Is loving your husband and your children more important to you than anything else? It should be. It should be. You'll make the time for what's most important. Now, the second letter in our love acrostic is O, and it's offers patience and kindness. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 says, love is patient, love is kind. Patience and kindness, two very difficult things, especially when it's dealing with our spouse and our children. I mean, we can have all the patience in the world for that guy when we're dating, right? Some of you go back to those dating days, or maybe some of you are in those dating days right now. Do you remember all the patience you had for that guy? He could do no wrong. I mean, he could show up unshaved with a dirty truck, and we're like, I just love him, right? Or, you know, he could do no wrong. You know, the flowers could be wilted, or he could forget something. And it's just, oh, my Snooky Ookums, he just, I love him. And we never fight, and it's just so cute. And ladies, that doesn't last long, okay? We have so much patience when you're dating someone and you're not married to them, okay? It may be someone else's child, and you can be so patient with their kids. Like, oh, she's having a temper tantrum. Isn't that so cute? Not my kid, right? Or, you know, we can be so patient with everybody else but our own husband and children, right? And maybe when you get home, your husband and your kids run for cover because they're like, mom's home and she's on her broom, right? It's funny, isn't it? But you know what, ladies? It's really sad. Isn't it really sad? It's true, and we laugh because I get on my broom quite a bit. And then the Lord convicts us. This is not how we should be living. This is not right. This is not how it should be. The definition of patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. That's hard. That's really hard. I am not a naturally patient person. Are any of you naturally patient? Oh, good, I'm glad nobody raised their hand, because I would have been really jealous, and we would have had to have a talk after. Tell me your secret. None of us are naturally patient. None of these things are natural. We are sinners naturally, saved by the grace of God. None of us are naturally patient. And so many of us, it is really hard with children, right? How many of you have small children? How many of you have teenagers? How many of you have adult children that act like children? Okay, there we go. It is really hard to have patience, isn't it? It's really hard. Now, I am a homeschool mom, okay? Talk about patience. I keep telling the Lord, I'm not meant to be a homeschool mom. And he keeps saying, yes, you are. And I keep saying, no, I don't think so. But I am. And my son will be writing out his name. And it's my fault. I named him Zechariah. We don't call him Zach. Zechariah, and he knows how to spell it. And my other son is Zephaniah. Yes, I did this to myself. So my son will be writing out his 10-letter name. And it's a Z and an E, and I'm like, just write the name, you know? And halfway through writing his name, he'll be like, Mom, there's a speck of dust. Mom, look at that fly. Just write the name on the paper, right? And I have done this. I have literally done this. Write your name. And the Lord's like, Mary, patience does not come easy for me, okay? We are not naturally patient, and maybe some of you are in the teen years, and you're thinking, who are you, and what have you done with my child, right? Or maybe you have a prodigal child, and you're thinking, would you just get it together already? We are not naturally patient. I love this quote I read by Richard Cecil. He says, God's way of answering the Christian's prayer for more patience, experience, hope, and love often is to put them in the furnace of affliction. And isn't that true? Because how are you ever going to learn to be patient and loving if it isn't hard? Things like this do not come easy. This is what Paul says in Ephesians 4:2. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. I loved that word, bearing. It just popped out to me. One definition of bearing is the act of enduring or capacity to endure. Ladies, it is bearing with one another in love. I literally pictured a big grizzly bear. Bearing with one another in love. This is not easy. This is not a walk in the park. And once again, we have to look to our Father in heaven, right? Oh, God, give me your patience because he's been so patient with us. And thank the Lord that God's not up there with his fist. Would you get it already? Aren't we thankful? God is so patient with us. So how can we possibly be patient unless we look to him for help? You know, ladies, these aspects of love, they're not like a box of chocolates. Okay, how many of you like a box of chocolates? Come on, just everyone raise their hand. We all love chocolate, right? For the most part. But you know, when I get a box of chocolates, you know what I like to do? I hope I'm not the only one. But I take a butter knife and I like cut all of them in half because I don't want to pop that thing in my mouth if it's some nasty chocolate, right? Or I'll take a little bite. Oh, that's gross. And I toss it in the trash, right? How many of you do this? Okay, oh good. I'm not the only one. Love is not a box of chocolates. We don't get to slice patience in half and say, ooh, that's patience, I'm going to toss that in the trash. Or, oh, this is kindness, that tastes really good, I can be kind today. No, love is not a box of chocolates. You have to eat the whole box. We don't get to toss it in the trash, the things that we like and the things that we don't like. God wants us to do it all. I love Colossians 3:12. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. These are the clothes we're supposed to put on. Love offers patience, but it also offers kindness. Kindness. If we're honest, a lot of us are kinder to our dogs than we are to our husband and kids. Isn't that true? It's so easy to love Fuzzy Wuzzy. because they don't do anything wrong. And they're so cute, and they love us no matter what we do. But how do we act when it comes to our husband and kids? It's a choice. It's a choice, ladies. Kindness is also how you speak to your spouse and your children. How do you speak to them? Are your words kind? Are they loving? Do you have a kind tone? Or is everything on edge and snappy? I love Proverbs 31:26. It says this about the Proverbs 31 woman. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Kindness. The words we speak in our home and the tone that we say them in, those words can either heal and build, or they can tear down and destroy. One verse that my mom gave to me before I got married was Proverbs 14:1. Write it down, memorize it, and put it on a wall in your house. Proverbs 14:1, for those of you that aren't married yet, memorize it now. It says, the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish woman tears it down. And that spoke to me so much even before I was married. The wise woman, she builds her house, but the foolish one, she tears it down with her own hands. You can't blame anyone else. It's your own fault. You're tearing it down with your own hands if you are not living in kindness in your home. What are your words saying, ladies? What are they doing to your husband and children? Are they building that home up? Are you building it up? Or are you tearing it down with your very own hands? This is convicting for me because many times I have torn my house down. And I desperately need God to help me build it up. You can't do it on your own. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Psalm 145:17 says this about God. It says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. We're reminded of God's great kindness in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. It says, or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Ladies, it's God's kindness that led us to him, wasn't it? It wasn't his wrath or his anger. It was his kindness that led us to him. If we're not kind women, if we walk around like we've been baptized in lemon juice, something's wrong. Something's off spiritually. And we need to come to God and say, God, change my heart. Change me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Ladies, we cannot do any of this outside of the Holy Spirit. Don't think that you can go home today and, okay, I'm going to be kind. Okay, I'm going to be patient. Okay, I'm going to be loving. Because if you do that, it's not going to happen. You need to come to the Holy Spirit. You need to come to God and say, God, I cannot do this. I cannot be patient. I cannot be kind. I cannot be loving. I need you. And guess what, ladies? He will fill you with his Holy Spirit. He'll give you the strength to do it. Are you going to fail? Yes, you're going to fail. You're going to make mistakes. But we've got the Holy Spirit every day to refill us and to recharge us. I love Galatians 5:22. Says this about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. The Holy Spirit will produce this kind of fruit in your life. You can't do it, but he can. So let him do it. Let him come in. Let him produce that fruit in your life. It's going to be beautiful fruit. Gorgeous. Well, our third letter in our love acrostic is V. Vanquishes selfishness. Vanquishes selfishness. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, we read that love is not self-seeking. Other translations say love does not demand its own way, does not seek its own. Some synonyms I found for self-seeking are narcissistic, self-absorbed, self-centered, self-concerned, self-loving, self-preoccupied, selfish. Love is not selfish. It's not about me. It's not about, oh, I'll love you as long as you do what I want you to do. I'll love you as long as I get what I want from the relationship. No, love sacrifices self. So often in wanting to be loved, we turn it into, it's all about me, instead of, it's all about them and how God wants me to love them. You know, one movement I see on social media a lot lately is this whole, especially, you know, I see it especially on Instagram. I'm not really into Facebook. I am on Instagram. I've taken a break the last couple of weeks, I'll tell you what, because, yeah, we won't even go down that road. But on Instagram and on social media and even just in the media in general, on TV and different things, there's this huge movement going around now about the importance of self-love and self-care. And so many moms will throw up these posts on Instagram like, you know, I just feel so guilty about taking time for myself. And, you know, today I went out, I got a pedicure, I got a massage, I had me time. And it was so nice. Ladies, I'm not saying that you can never go out and get a pedicure. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you can never go out and get yourself a cupcake and have a treat. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that we must be very careful that this way of thinking doesn't distort us. Okay? Because in the end, the enemy will take this whole concept of self-love and self-care and turn it into you being disgruntled, depressed, frustrated, and angry. Because this turns into me. I'm not getting what I want. Nobody sees how hard I work. Nobody sees what I go through at home. And it turns into this attitude of I need me time. Now, I know this is not popular, and many of you may have a dagger in your hand, ready to get me in the end. But ladies, it's a dangerous place to be, because I'm going to tell you what. At the end of the day, God did not tell you to love yourself. God told you to love Him and to love others. At the end of the day, God did not tell you to practice self-love and self-care. Jesus said, deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow me. That has nothing to do with self-love. Deny yourself. I have yet to find a scripture where it tells me to go indulge myself for a day and have me time. If you find one, let me know. But we'll all be in our graves by then. It's not going to happen, right? Jesus gave us the greatest examples of selflessness in Scripture. Do you remember when Jesus, God in the flesh, God's Son, bent down and washed the disciples' feet? I get emotional every time I think about it, ladies, because think about that. Jesus washed those filthy feet. Could you imagine if Jesus came up to you right now in this room and wanted to wash your feet? Would you let him? I'd say, oh no, Jesus, please let me wash your feet. I don't ever remember Jesus in Scripture telling the disciples, hey boys, I'm going to go get a hot dinner and a massage. I'll see you tomorrow. Did Jesus ever do that? The only time we ever see Jesus taking a break was to spend time with the Father. That's how Jesus recharged. He went to the Father. So whenever we do see Jesus taking a break, he spent time with the Father. He tried to take a quick nap on the boat, but poor guy, how did that turn out? Didn't last very long. Jesus sympathizes with us, right? I love it. Jesus said in John chapter 15, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. Are we laying down our life for our husbands and our children? Ladies, this is hard. I am not saying this is easy. It's hard. It's hard to lay down your life. It's hard to practice being selfless. It is so hard. Our self doesn't want to die, does it? And it constantly fights back. But when I spend that time alone with God, when I make him my priority, when I look to him for that strength to do it, he gives it to me. You know, I had to share something funny with you because I'm human and I'm a sinner, ladies. And he's 6 months old now. I had a son in October. He's another miracle. We're so thankful. But he went through 4 grueling months of colic. And if any of you ladies have ever really been through colic, you understand what I'm talking about. If you haven't, I pray none of you have to go through that. It was horrible. I sobbed almost every day. It was horrible. There's no other word to describe it when you're holding a screaming child almost 24 hours a day. I couldn't shower. I couldn't get out. I couldn't do anything. I literally couldn't do anything. I had to shower with him. It was very difficult. And I'll never forget one day I'd had it. And I just have to get out. I told him, I have to get out. I have to get out of here. I can't do this. So I decided to go walk around Marshalls. I'm going to go walk around Marshalls. I just needed to get out. So I'm walking around Marshalls. And you know what, ladies? I came back feeling just as depleted, just as tired, and just as emotional as I did when I went. What would have been the better choice? Go spend 10 minutes alone in the car with God. That would have been better. And there have been times since then that I made the better choice, and guess what? I feel a whole lot better. I feel so much more prepared to love my husband and my children. It's not about me. And ladies, this isn't a drag or a bummer. Like, oh man, I have to lay down my life for my husband and my kids. If we have that attitude, shame on us. Oh God, forgive us. This is a joy. This is a calling because guess what, ladies? Do you realize that God sees every sacrifice you make? He sees everything that you've had to go through, all the times you've had to lay yourself on the altar in order to love your husband and children. Do you know that God's watching you? He sees the sacrifices you've made. He sees what you're going through. And guess what? There is a treasure in heaven for you. There's a treasure in heaven for you. Can you believe that? I would so much rather have a reward in heaven than any type of reward here on earth that's going to just get thrown away, right? And that leaves us our last letter in the acrostic, E, eternally minded. Love is eternally minded because if you're only thinking about the here and now of having to love your husband and kids, you're going to get worn out pretty quick. But if you see it as I'm doing this for my Father in heaven, I'm doing this for God, no matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how painful it is, I'm doing this for God because God loved me so much that he died for me. So I'm going to do this as unto him. I love what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Ladies, isn't it so much better to have the thought when we're doing all of this, when we're loving our husband, we're loving those babies, teenagers, adult children, prodigals, whatever it is, when we're loving them as unto the Lord, no matter how difficult they are, no matter how difficult that husband is, when we're doing it as unto God, the thought that keeps us motivated is, I'm doing this for God, and one day when we get to heaven, won't it be so worth it when Jesus looks at us face to face and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Isn't that really all we want? Who cares about a massage or a trophy or a plaque on the wall or a pat on the back? Just to hear Jesus tell us those words, ladies, we're going to have the rest of eternity to just enjoy peace and freedom and a relationship with Jesus and day-to-day living with God. It's going to be rough here on this earth. It's not always going to be easy, but there is a treasure waiting in heaven if we honor the Lord. It's going to be amazing. And I just want to end on just an encouragement, first of all, for you moms out there, because we can be so depleted and so exhausted, and our love tank can seem so empty. But I just want to encourage you that God knows and sees the challenges that you are facing right now as a mother. He sees it. And whether you're in the baby stage of changing diapers and wiping runny noses and doctor's appointments, or you're in the preteen years or the hormone years of teenage years, and you're pulling your hair out because they don't respect you and they don't love you and you're trying so hard to love them. Or maybe for some of you, you have adult children that are prodigals and your heart is just torn out and you're trying to love them. God sees you, ladies. He knows what you're going through. He knows the heartache that you face, the busyness, the difficulty, the things that you do every day as a mother. I really felt in preparation for this, the Lord put stepmoms on my heart. I don't know if any of you are stepmoms here today. And you know what? You are trying so hard. And it doesn't seem like no matter how hard you try, those kids appreciate you. Maybe they don't even like you. And you are trying to love them as God wants you to love them. Stepmoms, don't give up. You're doing a great job. Keep at it. God sees you. For those of you mamas that have special needs children here today, that's a whole nother challenge in itself. And He sees the tears that you cry. He sees how you've had to be so selfless and you've had to sacrifice yourself every day to take care of those precious children. Oh, mama, He sees you. He sees you. He has not forgotten about you. He knows what you're facing. He knows how hard it is to love. He knows. He knows. In Psalm 56:8, it says this about God. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. Ladies, God has kept track of every single one of your tears. And He keeps them in a bottle. For you wives out there today who are really struggling to love your husbands, maybe some of you are married to men who are just plain difficult. Maybe they're rude. Maybe they're selfish. Maybe they don't have God. Maybe they're lazy. Maybe they say things to you and they don't even treat you with love. And you're worn out. And you're thinking, I don't know how I can possibly love this man another day. Ladies, God sees you. And He loves you. And guess what? Your real husband is your Father in heaven. That's what Scripture tells us. Your husband is your maker. And as you love that man as unto him, not because he deserves it, but because of God's great love for you, as you love him, God sees it, ladies. He sees the tears you cry. He sees how difficult it is. We all want the knight in shining armor, don't we? But you know what, ladies? God is our knight in shining armor. He paid the price. He fought the battle and won. He died to save you. If that's not a knight in shining armor, I don't know what is. God's love for you is kind. God's love for you is patient. God's love for you will never give up. It will never end. It will never treat you harshly. Your Father in heaven loves you more than you could ever fathom, more than you could ever imagine. It's deeper, it's wider, and it's higher than anything you could ever, in your wildest dreams, have wished for. Your Father in heaven sees you here today. He loves you. And He's going to help you love that husband. He's going to help you love those children. Don't give up and don't lose heart. The only way you can love is by looking to your Father who loves you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you, God, that despite our many failures, despite the times that we have not loved, that we have been unkind and unpatient, the times that we have torn down our home with our own hands, God, I just pray that you would help us to love, truly love our husbands, our children, and those that are around us. That, God, we would display that love because you have loved us so deeply. And just as we close real quick here, I just really feel it on my heart, and I'll make it quick, but ladies, maybe there's some of you here this morning that have never accepted God's love, and you've never asked Jesus to come in your heart. You've never asked him to come in and fill you with his love and show you his love. You've never asked him to forgive you of your sins, and maybe you're sitting here, maybe a friend brought you, maybe you just wandered in on your own, maybe you heard about it, and you want to have that relationship with God. You want to have God's love. You want to give his love to others, but you've never asked him in your heart. I just want to pray that everyone keep their heads bowed, their eyes closed. And if that's you, would you just lift up your hand?